Are you excited to be in his presence tonight? Are you hungry for the word? Come on, let's stand together and read from our passage this evening. It's in Romans chapter 12. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, you are here with us now, and you're here with a purpose. You're on a mission to transform us. Please forgive us for times that we've ignored you or resisted you or thought we knew better than you. The times that we hurt and frustrated you because we were proud or because we were selfish. No more of that. We stand ready to hear your voice, to listen, and to follow your lead. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, you may be seated. All right, so tonight I want to dive into a second part here about being led by the Spirit. And if I could just, you know, be Captain Obvious here for a second, I just want to point out that there is a universe of difference between, you know, self-help, you know, motivational type cheerleading, and, you know, that sort of name it and claim it, pop psychology stuff, and the stuff that we're going to be talking about tonight. Big, big difference, okay? Tony Robbins and Simon Sinek, these guys are never going to talk to you about being filled with the Holy Spirit. TED Talks is never going to invite me to come and do a thing on, you know, being led by the Spirit. No, because we are people of the Spirit. We're not of this world. This world is full of teachers and leaders and psychologists and psychotherapists and professionals who can help you with a variety of intellectual pursuits or emotional understanding. But we are led by none of those things. We are citizens of a kingdom that is coming, that is here, and we are led by the Spirit. And there is a truth about who we are. We are Spirit. We're seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. And when you gave your life to Jesus, he made your spirit come to life. But our souls are a work in progress, aren't they? We need our souls to be led by the Spirit. And by the word soul, I mean your mind and your emotions, and I think your personality, your will, all those things kind of come into place in that word soul. When you repented of your sins, when you trusted in Jesus, when you expressed faith in his finished work on the cross and in the resurrected Son of God, you were born again. Can I get an amen tonight? A spirit was born in you from God that identified God as your Father, and you got saved, and that spirit is seated in a heavenly dimension with Christ. There's nothing you could do to earn that. There's nothing you could do to improve it or to perfect it. You became a child of God. But, you know, there's other parts of you than just that. You know, some here tonight didn't have that experience until you were adults or maybe even later in life. And that means that you've got this whole history already, you know, this whole set of experiences and learned behaviors and thought patterns and habits and idiosyncrasies that have been developed over a course of time that were there. And your spirit got saved, your soul is being saved, and it's being renewed, and your body will be saved. The soulish part of who you are, your mind and your emotions, it's now a battleground. Did you know that you were in a war? You know there's a war going on, right? And much of the testing and the struggle and the trials of faith that you and I experience are going to take place right here in this area of our lives. And so if I could just sort of describe a flow chart, so to speak, of a person being led by the Spirit, if I could do that, then I would say that the Holy Spirit gives revelation to your spirit. And then that revelation, what he speaks to you in your spirit, it engages your mind and it produces thoughts and ideas. And those thoughts and ideas spark emotions in you, like emotions like joy or courage or maybe compassion or zeal, depending on what he's, you know, speaking to you. And then all of those things result in a physical action or a behavior, something observable, something visible that you do with your body. Are you tracking with me tonight? Okay, so let me give you an example. So for 3 years, I was the director of music for the NorCal Nevada district, okay, of the Assemblies of God, which basically means that for the big meetings in Sacramento or in San Francisco or San Jose, that I would be responsible to arrange and rehearse and plan the worship music for various meetings that were taking place. And, you know, it was my observation for those big meetings, the biggest ones that we'd have in Sacramento over the course of many years, that the music would be sort of handed off to two of the largest flagship churches in our district to do. And at the time that I happened to be the music director for the district, you know, it was coming up on a big anniversary year. A big number was coming up. And so there was going to be meetings in San Francisco and different, you know, meetings that were taking place, a lot of history that was going to be discussed, and it was kind of a big thing going on. And I just, you know, felt like there could be something different that happened. I just felt like this idea that God gave me. And so I went to the superintendent and I said, you know, the normal thing is that we do this with the music, but this is going to be a big year. What if instead of, you know, just having one or two of the biggest churches handle the music, what if I put together a dream team? We've got 450 churches in this district. And what if I could collect the best from all of us? And so when the pastors come from Nevada, from all over California, when the missionaries arrive from all over the world and we're in these meetings and we're looking on the platform, they see all of us together worshiping the Lord. He was like, I love it. Make it happen. And I was like, oh, no. And so like a genius, the first thing I did was I got Cheryl Sano to help me out with the organization of it and got her on the phone. And, you know, there was a lot of communicating that was going on and needed to go on to arrange, as you could imagine, engage a variety of pastors and ministries and geographies and schedules and all that stuff that needed to take place to make that idea come into life. And so I thought, well, you know, what I want to do first here then is I want to get together in a meeting with three or four of my counterparts who do what I do, who I know have successful ministries going on, and I want to have a meeting. I want them to have buy-in on this idea, because then if I know that these four individuals have buy-in with their ministry, it's gonna launch, and the rest is just going to be, you know, additional to that. So we had this meeting. And I presented the idea, and three of the four were very supportive. They were like, hey, we love this idea. Let me know what I need to do. One of them was like, yeah, my dad is the national music director for many years, and this was exactly the kind of stuff he would do. This is going to work, and I'm all in. Let me know, blah, blah. And then there was one that wasn't so excited about it. And he basically said, you know, you're biting off more than you could chew. This is gonna fail, and I'm not for it. And I was like, okay. Thank you for that. But, you know, most of them were on board, and I thought, well, let's move forward with it. So we started moving forward with it. It was great. And then the superintendent made me aware that this individual was emailing him to try to kill this idea. And then this individual started copying me on the emails to the superintendent, trying to shoot this idea down. Now, you know, I was just like, wait a minute. You're my brother. We're counterparts. You know, not being supportive of the idea is one thing. Not wanting to participate is one thing. Trying to murder the idea is another thing altogether. What is going on? You know, my wife will tell you, I was getting stressed out about it. Because look, I mean, this individual, you know, oversaw a ministry that was much, much larger than mine. And I'll just say it this way, he had some weight and he was throwing it around in these emails saying, you've got to stop this from happening. This is going to be really, really bad for everybody. And so I got to this place where, you know, I was hurt, you know, some things that were being said. And so I sat down at the computer and I crafted this email to defend myself. I wrote out it was beautiful. It was so artful. And I wrote this email because I was seeing all the stuff going on between him, you know, trying to, you know, kill this, go to the superintendent and just kill this thing. And the Holy Spirit said, don't send that email. I was like, what? He said, no, honor him. And so, you know, that was the Holy Spirit. That wasn't me. Because I just finished the email. That was the voice of the Holy Spirit. That was him speaking something to me, right? That I didn't understand. And so I made myself do that. I listened to him. And I didn't send that email. And then, you know, because of the way the schedules and the geographies kind of worked out, one of the big instrumental rehearsals had to take place at this person's, in this person's sanctuary on their platform. We were going to be there. And all the instrumentalists were there. We were rehearsing. It was so good. I mean, there were so many, you know, that got involved on the on board with this, and it became something that was exciting. And so we were there for the rehearsal, and this guy walked into the room. And I remembered what the Holy Spirit said to me. And so I stopped what we were doing, and I publicly, you know, acknowledged. I was like, hey, you know, so-and-so, just want to really thank you for letting us be here tonight. And blah, would you please address everyone here tonight? Would you pray for us tonight? And in that conversation and in other conversations that happened later that I won't go into now, I obeyed the Holy Spirit, and I showed honor to this person who was trying so hard to stop this from happening. And because I did that, I extracted myself from the ministry that was going to be taking place. I extracted my desire to defend myself and get in my emotions and my issues and the thing to the offering that was going to be presented to the Lord. And you know what? He blessed it. The Spirit of God in those meetings and the excitement of everyone who got involved in that project, who came up to me later and said, you know, thank you for putting this together. We would never have met each other. We would never have had this opportunity to worship together in this way. And the Lord blessed it because I obeyed. You see, there was a war that was going on inside of me in that moment. You know, I had given my life to Jesus. I was a child of God. Everything changed about my destiny. You know, even although my body was still, you know, the same body, you know, as I had before I got saved, my heart was set on Jesus, but my mind, my soul, my emotions was still operating under Ciociola DOS 91, okay? This was old antiquated stuff. Old systems that were, you know, sluggish because of my, you know, sin and selfishness. I needed updates. And we need the power that only comes from the Holy Spirit. You see, I wanted to defend myself. That was the old programming, right? This was injustice. This is wrong. I need to fix it. But the Spirit called to me. He spoke to me. He said, honor. So I made my words and my attitude and my emotions obey his lead, to come back in line with what the Spirit was saying, and he blessed it. You see, there's a war going on, a war between being led by the Spirit and the Spirit's desires versus the demands of the world, the demands of our emotions or of our bodies. And so a key purpose in even, you know, having the Word of God is to teach us how to make our thoughts come in line and be submitted to the Holy Spirit. The Word is filled with verses on how to think God's way, how to see things from His perspective and what to think about. And so let's look at that verse again. Be transformed into a new creation. How? By dieting and working out? No, by changing jobs. By moving around, by changing your spouse, by buying new clothes, by going to a new school. No, by changing the way you think. Proverbs chapter 4, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You are what you think. Henry Ford, you know, the motor company, he once said, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. Stick with me here. The world thinks they understand the power of the mind, right? The power of choosing your destiny just by, you know, changing your thoughts. They call it self-help. They call it willpower. You remember that book called The Secret? Remember that came out several years ago? Everybody was reading that book, you know, based on the law of attraction. And the author's basically saying that by thinking about something or visualizing it often enough, you could make it appear, you know, in your life, a blue Lamborghini or whatever it is that you think you want, whatever. And the author even based this book off of, you know, Matthew chapter 21. He found a verse that says, you know, you could pray for anything, and if you have faith, you'll receive it. So, you know, Christians are buying this stuff and thinking this is going to, you know, get them into a victorious life. I mean, come on. It's, you know, this is a Bible verse. That makes it biblical, right? Right. And Satan quoted the Bible to Jesus while he's tempting him in the wilderness. So it all must be right, right? Look, here's the difference. Look at Romans chapter 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So let's stop right there. God made you capable of feeling and expressing emotion. Look, God has emotions. You know that, right? Emotions are not the problem. He didn't come to make you Spock or something like that, right? And just cut out, snip it all out. No, God has emotions. He gave you emotions. That's a gift from him. You know, some people have what I call emotional intelligence, right? They just know how to navigate relationships. Like, they're just smooth at it. They just know it's instinctive. They can move through relationships and navigate that like a ballerina on the stage or something. They just have a gift for it. But listen, if that's you, that problem occurs when you allow yourself to be led by your emotions. God designed your emotions to be gauges, not guides. They're meant to report to you, not drive you. The pattern of your emotions will give you a read on where your hope is because they're wired into what you believe and what you value and how much you value it. But because our emotions are wired both into our fallen nature and into our regenerated nature, sin and Satan have access in that old nature, right? They're going to try to come in, they're going to hack that, and they are going to try to manipulate. And that's why our emotional response to temptation can seem urgent. You got to do this. You got to do it right now. Rather than informative, like you're feeling vulnerable right now, or you're feeling comforted, or whatever it is that you're feeling. When you feel urged to act out on an emotion, watch out, because you're being deceived. When we are controlled by our emotions, how we feel, that's when, we settle for less than what God has for us. When we begin to judge the value of things by the nature of our response to them. You see, the world says, if this feels good, then do it. But that's not God's way. One of the greatest problems by just being led by emotions is that your feelings can't be trusted. Guess what? They change. You know that, right? They deceive. People who deliberately walk into situations with the how does this feel, approach, rather than God's truth, often get trapped in a series of bad consequences. We've all been there, right? We know this because we've all done it. This is especially true if you're trying to navigate a relationship. Who am I going to marry? Or whether you're thinking about, how am I going to change jobs or am I not going to change jobs? How am I going to spend this money? But this is also true about your relationship with God. If you spend time with him only when you feel like it, you're going to have an inconsistent life. If we apply the word of God only when it agrees with our feelings, we'll not be walking in the truth, and we'll definitely not be being led by the Spirit. How we are led will make a difference in our level of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity requires, in every area of our life, including our emotions, that we be led by the Spirit of God. We cannot be effective for God if we're controlled on how we're feeling on a particular day or at a particular time. So I'm going to ask Dominic and Lucas, if you guys will grab those props, I want to illustrate something. We like to illustrate things here once in a while. So guys, why don't you bring your stuff up here, take your place. Come on, let's hear it for Lucas and Dominic. Awesome, thanks guys. Okay, so Dominic is here. He's the Spirit. He's got the fruit. This is my fruit right here. All right. Lucas, the lust of the flesh. He's got the fries here. He's been lathered in, grease. He's been sitting under the heat lamps for a long time. It's all very attractive. And the Spirit. This is my Spirit. Isn't it cute? I stole it from my son's bed. So my Spirit is seated with Christ in heavenly places. Okay? If you're listening to this, I just gave Spider-Man to my dad over there. It's pretty awesome. And so what's going on here? My spirit is seated with Christ, is redeemed, and now what I'm doing is I'm trying to get my soul over here in line with what is real. Because can I just say this? What we are experiencing right now, this is just a layer of reality. This is a perception of reality. And perception is created where? In the mind. Our physical experiences. But where is the ultimate reality? It is in the spirit. The spirit is where all truth flows from. Okay, so let's continue reading in this. It says, verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death. Oh man, this looks good. Smells good. Tastes great. This is awesome, but it's gonna kill you. Back to the verse. But the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. It's sweet. It's all organic. It's juicy. It is delicious. And over here, you know what? This might not look as appetizing. No, nothing referencing you, Dominic. I'm just saying. This over here, the fruit, might not look as appetizing, but this is life. This is where life comes from. This is going to keep me alive. This is of the spirit. It is reality. It is the source of truth. And the spirit knows what reality and what truth is. Jesus said he is the spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. So if we want what is real and what is true, we've got to come over here and feed in this area. Going on to verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. Okay, now watch this. When I turn to feed on the things of the flesh, where is my back turned to? That's right. My back is turned to God. I'm literally turning my back on God. I'm turning my back on his ways. I'm turning my back on his food and his thoughts and his plan and his heart. My spirit is there, but my soul is making another choice. And here's the choice. It goes on to say, it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. As long as I just keep following after emotions or my desires or whatever, then I cannot please God. The soul is the place of choosing. Now, we think, you know, emotions, they're just flying around. I can't control them. They're just flying at me everywhere. They're just in my head. I can't help it. No, you can help it. And that is why Paul says in Philippians 4, fix your thoughts on what is true and on what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, and think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Fix. And that's a verb. It requires action. It means that I propel my thoughts. I command my thoughts to come in line with the Spirit. Why? Because your focus determines your direction. The Spirit is giving you direction as you are driving through life. But he wants you, got your eyes through that windshield and looking at the road so that you can see the signs that he's giving you. And the flesh wants you looking down at the smartphone, right? He wants you distracted down here with its desires. If you do that, you're not going to get where you need to be. And you're eventually going to crash the car. And you might hurt somebody in the process. And you might get hurt too. So fix your thoughts on what is true and what is higher and where you are going. The Spirit is not going to come and possess you and make you do things that you don't want to do. He's going to lead you into truth. Remember, I was telling you about that pastor who was going behind my back and over my head. He was trying to cause division and doubt and trouble. You know, the Holy Spirit, when I was crafting that email, he didn't like, you know, jump inside me and possess me and make me do what he wanted to do. No, he spoke to me. And maybe you've been in a service where the Spirit was moving, the Spirit of God was, and people were responding to that. But the Spirit isn't just going to, you know, possess your body and make you do things that you don't want to do. No, he moves and he leads. When two people dance the waltz, there is a lead position and there is a follow position. And if we are the bride of Christ, think of being led by the Spirit as practicing the waltz for your wedding day. Come on, give him praise, because that was I love that. I was thinking about that. I was like, yes, yes, I could see it. It's going to happen, and it's going to be beautiful. You know, Jesus didn't die for robots. He didn't die for puppets. He loves people, and being led by the Spirit involves cooperation on our part. God wants to work with you. He wants to cooperate with you and be in a relationship with you so that you can know him and learn the depth of his grace. Come on, let's give a hand to Dominic and Lucas for illustrating this point. I won't make you hold that anymore. Look, being led by the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that he's going to take you by the hand and just walk you through, you know, every little candy store and thing that you want, like Willy Wonka or something like that. He's not just going to give you everything that you think you want. No, the Spirit is here for a purpose and a mission. Okay? His mission is to transform you into the image of Jesus Christ. When the Spirit is leading you, he's going to take you to who? He's a person, and he's taking you to a person. He's always going to lead you to Jesus. If you remember in Luke chapter 2, there's this old guy, right? His name was Simeon, and it says that he was led by the Spirit to go into the temple, and boom, there's baby Jesus. The Spirit will always lead you to Jesus. He's here to transform you into the image of Jesus, to do a work in your spirit that changes everything about who you are and what you think is right. He's going to lead you into truth because he actually sees the truth. You just see what you think you see. No, he sees the truth to help you remember everything that Jesus did and taught, to convict you and to convince you and to make you more like his son, Jesus. Jesus was not distracted by anything. He could sleep in a storm. Friends and family tried to manage him. The religious people tried to control him. Satan tried to tempt him, but Jesus was led by the Spirit. And here's the fundamental truth that I want to leave you with tonight. If you don't write anything else down or don't remember anything else, remember this. If it feeds you, it leads you. What feeds you leads you. You want to know if you're being led by the Spirit? You'll be feeding from the Spirit. You'll be going to the Bible. You'll be feeding from it. You'll be filling up your plate with everything it says about who God is and who you are and on what he can do and what reality is. And when you're feeding off of the things of the Spirit, you're full. You're so full that, you know, when the world comes by with the, you know, the mystery meat gelatinous, you know, the pink meat goo stuff, you know, you're not even tempted. It's icky. You see through the deception, and you're full. And even if he comes by with something that looks good, you know, like when you're at a fancy restaurant and the waiter comes by with a cart, you know, with the gourmet desserts on it, and you're like, wow, that looks like a work of art. But you're so full because you've eaten the full course. You had the salad and the main course and the soup and the everything else. And you're like, man, I don't even have room for that. I don't have room in my spirit for things that taste good going down but are killing my purpose. Give him praise. Things that feed a temporary desire but kill my eternal destiny. And that's why we wake up early and we feed on God's word. And that's why we assemble together and we eat what he's feeding us. So let me just ask, what is feeding you? I was looking at something that said that the average person in America watches 4 hours of TV every day. I was like, wow, what's feeding you? Where are you finding satisfaction and rest and comfort and acceptance? Where are you going for these things? That is what you are being led by. If it's a hobby or entertainment or just downtime, if those are the things that are actually satisfying you, that's a counterfeit. But it's leading you. And that's what, you know, fasting is about. And we're telling God that even though my body has a legitimate need to feed in order to survive, I just want you to know that I'm rejecting the notion that I could put anything in my mouth or be satisfied by anything more than the words that come from your lips. What the Spirit is giving me is real life. You see, what happened when I turned my back to feed on the Spirit? My back was to everything else. You could choose one thing, and I choose the Spirit and turn my back on the other. Galatians chapter 5, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. then you won't be doing what your sinful nature desires. So Paul is saying that when you let the Holy Spirit lead, when you are feeding on the Holy Spirit, you will not be doing what the sinful nature, the old programming, the dead programming wants you to do. You won't do it. You don't have to keep saying, oh, don't do this. Don't eat that. You won't have to be, all you have to do is turn your thoughts and your will and choose. I choose you. I choose you. Here it goes on to say, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality and impurity and lustful pleasure and idolatry and sorcery and hostility and quarreling and jealousy and outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and all the sins like that. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And there is a reason here that Paul calls it fruit. Here's the reasons. Spiritual fruit is a natural byproduct of the root. God made everything to reproduce after its kind, right? And fruit is an external manifestation of an inward reality, right? What you cannot see is the root. You see, it's under the ground. You don't see the root. But the root is what produces the fruit. Fruit is not in charge of manifesting itself. If you're connected to the Holy Spirit, the fruit will grow. It's not like the vine has to go and like push a grape out. That's not how it works. It just happens. Help us, Jesus. If you are connected to the Holy Spirit, the fruit is going to grow, and it's going to be whatever the root tells it is. What the root is what the fruit will be. Here's another reason. Fruit feeds others. Fruit doesn't cannibalize itself. You see, the fruit that I produce, the love and the joy and the patience and the kindness and all that good stuff, it's not for me to eat. It's for others around me to enjoy. I'm fed by the root, and the Spirit feeds me. But the fruit I produce, right, because I'm connected to Him, is going to impact everyone that comes near me in a very positive way. And what else? Fruit produces more fruit. It's not like the fried stuff over here, right? Do you have anybody in your life that, you know, they just inspire you when you're around them? They make you a better person. They lift you up. They make you want to be like more. They make you like a better person. You know what I'm talking about? See, the fruit can be eaten once, and it nourishes the person that consumes it. And guess what? It always leaves a seed because it is a living thing. And something, it leaves a seed that can be planted in the life of somebody else and produce even more fruit. You see, the fruit of the Spirit reproduces. Going back to that illustration of what happened in that whole scenario with the whole music thing, I obeyed the Spirit. He was talking to me. I was going in another direction. I was out. I was getting my armor on. I was going to go out and go do this fight thing. And he was like, no, don't do that. Don't send it. Be quiet. And you honor Him. And the fruit of peace and patience began to manifest in me. It didn't just bless me. It fed everyone. You know, the people who were involved in that, they didn't know what was going on. It wasn't their business. They didn't need to know. This was between me and the Spirit. But they were blessed by the result of what was happening in me. And you know what? Everyone who came to those worship services benefited because I withdrew that selfish urge and that old nature out of that entire project, and I set it to the side because my root, the foundation of my intention, was in honoring the presence of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Wherever the root is, that's where something starts, and that's where it will end. If the root, if the intention begins in the Spirit, it will end with spiritual fruit. If the root and the intention begins in the desires of the flesh to comfort you, to satisfy you, it's going to end in destruction. Galatians 6, whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction, and whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let's check ourselves. Our soul, is it feeding off of the things that only serve us? Or are we connected to the Spirit and being led by the Spirit to feed others around us? There comes a point of choosing, doesn't there? You've got to make a decision because he speaks to you, and then you have to choose, right? Are you going to be content to just live a life of the Holy Spirit just sort of residing with you or reigning in you? Because there's a difference. Your home can be a holy sanctuary. Your home can be a place of peace and spiritual rest. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that means he lives in you. Being led by the Spirit isn't something that happens, you know, on Sunday in church while we're singing songs. No, the Holy Spirit wants to be involved in everything you do, even the emails you're sitting there and writing. He wants to be involved in your life. Maybe it's time to prayerfully evaluate what you're spending time on and what you're allowing into your mind. I remember after a Grateful Nation Remembers one year, we all went over to your house. Chad Robichaud was the guest speaker. Remember that? He was a Force Recon Marine, and he had done special operations all over the world, several tours of duty, and he also happened to be, you know, several times the MMA champion of the world. So we're sitting here in your kitchen, and we're eating on stuff. I think there were a couple other Marines there. And they started sharing stories. It was amazing. And then he started talking. He was getting ready for a fight or something like that. And he started talking about what he was doing for the fight and the training. He said, the most expensive thing I do is when I go grocery shopping, when I'm leading up to a fight. It's the food. It's the quality of the food that I put in my body makes all the difference in the end result. Allow the Holy Spirit to feed you and to lead you. Put your emotions and your thoughts and your agendas and priorities off to the side, even if you feel like you might be justified, because you don't know the truth like the Holy Spirit knows the truth. When the Holy Spirit is prompting you, I just want to follow up that thought. You see, I just want to say this. What I didn't know at the time was that the guy who was trying to destroy this thing, something was going on in his life that I had no idea about. It came out later, and it was a kind of a thing that disqualified him from being involved in ministry. I didn't know that was happening in his life. The Holy Spirit was trying to deal with him and didn't want me to get in the middle of it. He was like, no, you sit down. I'm working on this guy. And the truth came out later. And I'd had nothing to do with it. He says, you remember when this morning we were talking about that passage? Never take revenge, church family. Leave it to the Lord. He says, I'm the one who will deal with these things. See, he knows the truth. He knows things you don't know. He's the Spirit of truth, not you, not your intellect, not your emotions. Why are you letting these things lead you when you can let the Holy Spirit, who made this whole planet and the whole universe and ordained all of it from the beginning of time, he says, I want to lead you. Will you just follow me? Will you just listen? I'm trying to talk to you. Come over here. Stop eating on this junk. I have something that is life for you. And just like Jesus said, he will, worship team, will you come up? He will lead you into all truth. So church family, what are we feeding on? Come on, let's all stand together and put our hands in the air and just begin to praise the Lord tonight. Listen, there's a variety of things in our lives that are speaking to us, that are trying to place demands on our time or our focus. And tonight we have an opportunity just to lay all those things down and to tell him we get it. We've all been in the place where we've pushed him off and we've ignored his voice. We regretted it. because we got burned by the consequences of it. And the word says, don't grieve him. Don't quench him. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to us. He's a gift from the one who saved your soul. And he's here to lead you and guide you into all truth. If you're here tonight, and whatever it is that you would like to just come and lay at the altar, would you just